morning. Today is Friday, lucky July 13th. And as you may have guessed, I'm not Brian. I'm filling in for him until he's on assignment right now. And joining us today is
Bill Reynolds, Humboldt Bay Fire.
So, had any Friday the 13th experiences so far today?
Not so far. It's pretty young yet, so keep my fingers crossed we don't experience that.
Yeah, that is true. The day's just begun, so there's plenty of time. All right, so instead of our quote for the day, our why do we say it for today is aloof. Where does the word aloof get its meaning? Any ideas?
Not a clue.
It is from sailing. A strong onshore breeze may blow a sailing ship onto coastal rocks, and to keep clear, the helmsman must hold the vessel into the wind. The nautical term luff means to the windward. Thus, to hold a luff, or, as we now say, aloof, means to keep clear.
All right. That actually, now, in second thought, it does sound very nautical. So,
yep. Learn something new every day. So, what's been going on for Humboldt Bay Fire since you last came by?
Geez, actually lots of stuff. Probably the biggest thing people are seeing in the news right now would be the state's burning again, like California does every summer, but starting a little bit earlier than it normally does. So we've been busy. We spent time down in Lake County at the Pawnee Fire. We had an engine with a local government strike team down there, as well as a strike team leader, basically trying to help them out with that one. And unfortunately, we've seen an increase in the number of other large fires around the state. And what promises to get worse as the season goes on.
Okay. Has there been any progress with some of the more, looking for the right term, the more pressing or the bigger fires?
Yeah, it looks like as of this morning, looking at the reports, the Klamath on fire, being one of the biggest in the state, they've got about 70% containment on that one, which is great. Okay. There's still, the official report says there's still about 350 structures threatened, but with 70% containment, it sounds like they're making good progress on it. So hopefully we'll have some resolution on that one pretty soon. And there's been a lot of small starts around the state, things getting in, the hundreds to a couple thousand acres, which are still relatively large, but they're getting ahead of them quickly. But again, if this is any indication how the rest of the season is going to be, we're looking at a lot of other big ones coming up. So,
okay. So, I heard a rumor that there was a finalist chosen to be the new head honcho at the fire station.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, we were fortunate to have a successful process in our search for a new permanent fire chief. So, as of August 1st, coming up in a couple months or at the end of the month here. Battalion Chief Sean Robertson from our agency, one of our tight side candidates, will be taking over as the fire chief. And we're all really excited. He did very well in the process. He comes to us, obviously, with coming from the department. He's got a lot of experience with us. He knows the landscape. He knows the players. And he's got a lot of good ideas going forward. So we're really excited to get started on this new path.
Okay.
Another big happenings with Humboldt Bay Fire, our water rescue program, which was deactivated several months ago, is now active again. Our personnel, between the cooperation between our personnel, our admin, and our union members, and our board of directors, we were able to resurrect that program. Obviously, when you think of the fire department, you don't always think about water rescues being one of our purviews. You think of fire, obviously fire response, you think of emergency medical response, but given our proximity to the bay and the amount of calls we get per year, it's actually a real big problem for us with water rescue. And also with the Coast Guard does a fantastic job protecting our coastlines, but they may be otherwise committed, or it may take a little bit more time for them to get to the scene, whereas if there's a water rescue in Humboldt Bay, we're going to be the first ones called and get there. So to have our swimmers active again and be able to respond to these emergencies is a big deal for us and for the community. The sheer amount of training that's involved for one of our firefighters to go from firefighter mode to get into their water rescue gear and be able to get into the bay and swim to conduct a rescue, the amount of training involved in that is immense. And our personnel have risen to the challenge, and they're ready to go again. The team is officially active again as of June 11th. We haven't had any calls for water rescue since then, but it's only a matter of time before they're able to make a difference and help out in that arena.
Yep, and they'll be prepped and ready to go.
Absolutely.
I think I hear the boss coming, so we'll take a break a little bit earlier and we'll be back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Reynolds, interim for weeks.
Yep, Chief. It's on the countdown to August 1st.
Does this mean you have to move out of the office?
I actually stayed in my old office.
Oh, okay.
I stayed in the familiar area. So.
You're lazy like I am.
It's amazing how much stuff you accumulate in an office over a short amount of time.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of fear there that they were going to say no and you had to move all that stuff down the hallway.
True enough.
What are you seeing on the drug use front, where you have seen significant change with the lack of trimmigrants in the area? Now, I don't know if that translates into less medical calls for you guys and gals or not, but what's going on within the jurisdiction of the fire district in city with drug use? Are you seeing some of those changes also, or just less in volume?
Actually, it's remained pretty steady for us. Even with the lack of trimmigrants and whatnot in the area, we've not seen too many of those. Actually, it just from personal observation, I haven't seen as many as I normally do. But with the high homeless population in our area, we still do see a lot of the drug related emergencies, as well as prescription overdoses as well in
that's
the
really
private homes residences.
Maggie was on yesterday. We were talking a little bit about it with the prescriptive drug abuse. Is it improper taking? Is it a deliberate? Is it accidental? The concept of prescription drug abuse to me is still something I'm trying to wrestle with myself.
Right. And it's not something as a fire department that we necessarily track directly, but pardon me. We see a smattering of each. Probably the vast majority of the prescription emergencies we see are just people making mistakes.
Whoopses,
absolutely. And fortunately, the thing that we don't see a lot of is the accidental overdose with children. Any kind of call that involves children or anybody like that, that takes a toll on not only the family but also on the first responders as well. And not to say that it's any better to see it in adults, but unfortunately we don't see that with children as much. But with the adult overdoses,
kids getting into medicine cabinets,
exactly.
Kind of thing.
And we don't see that as much as we used to before the safety standards were increased for pill bottles and making it really difficult for children to get into them. But unfortunately, though, people, whether it's through lack of understanding of what they're doing, if they're in pain, they take a little bit more of their medication, and sometimes that's just enough to push them into a medical
crisis. Oh, so it's a self-medication.
I think so, yeah.
Sometimes. Meth. Are we seeing more of it, less of it? Is the heroin stepping into that void?
We're seeing about the same, honestly. I've not seen a dip or an increase in it. It just seems to be a constant drum for us. We do see a lot of the not only the methamphetamine use, but the side effects of methamphetamine use and the horror that it causes the person's body over time when they take it. So, and then the associated health problems with that, which, again, with us being
the what does it set up? I mean, we see the ugly, the teeth and the skin and the super skinny and all that kind of stuff. What happens internally?
Effects on the cardiac system. You put a tremendous strain on your heart when you're taking these stimulants, and obviously causes issues with that and with difficulty breathing and whatnot. The other things, the effects on the nervous system. Obviously the shaking and the strain. It's just a ravaging drug to the entire body. And the other part of it is the production standards are not exactly what you would call high when they make those.
I was gonna. There was something I saw. It was the thing with the high school teacher, that series that was running for a while.
Right.
Is there a good form or a safe form of meth? Or regardless, is it going to tear you up eventually?
You know, methamphetamine, from my layperson's knowledge of it, there's really nothing good about it. I know that there are obviously applications for stimulants, for treatment of things like ADHD and other disabilities like that. But as far as the stuff that's on the street, not being a chemist, I don't know there's any good way to brew something like that up.
Ugly is ugly?
I think so.
Okay. Now, what about heroin? Because we will hear, all of a sudden you guys are making a lot of runs, the cops are making a lot of runs when a new batch hits town.
Right.
Do we see that cycle happening regularly now? Is this the time of the year, or is there a certain time when that occurs?
That one does seem to ebb and flow quite a bit. Typically, right about the first of the month or so, if something rolls through and people have a little bit of extra money to spend, we do see a spike in heroin-related calls, opioid calls, depressants, drugs like that. But it doesn't tend to have aside from being right around the first of the month, it seems to be, again, a pretty steady beat for us that we see them on a pretty regular basis throughout the entire month. So
it's just kind of interesting, people looking forward to getting paid so they could...
Right.
Recreationally, I would presume, rather than some of the other options that are there. Is there any other drug that you're starting to see?
You know, the biggest one in our area is still the king of the problems that we see is still from my opinion, is methamphetamine. And aside from the prescription stuff that's out there, the oxys and things like that, nothing else really stands out. We have had, with legalization, we have had some calls for people that have, when they call in, they self-diagnose and say they've overdosed on marijuana. But typically, when we get there, there's some other extenuating factor, whether it be alcohol or something like that involved.
So it's pot plus.
Yeah, exactly. And it causes other problems, or it causes them to have some, or to have a reaction where they're having difficulty breathing. And usually it's usually not directly related to cannabis. It's usually some other extenuating factor, like I mentioned, an underlying health condition or something like that.
Is that something that's starting to be well documented?
It is tracked. I think that we write an incident report for every call that we go on, and if there's been reports of that being involved, we will include that in our report. At the state level, I'm not sure what they're doing, but we do on our end basically track whenever we have somebody that's had something like that happen.
So we're starting to see a pattern.
We start to see a little bit.
You can start to at least get the word out. Don't do this if you're doing that.
Absolutely.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with interim for a couple of weeks, Chief Billy Reynolds from Humboldt Bay Fire. Fire. Lake County, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sacramento, Colusa, yeah. Siskiyou, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening around. I had occasion earlier this morning to be up on Neyland. Oh, my. Does that just look like a tinderbox? Now, I don't know what I'm looking at, but I'm a little sensitive. I'm seeing, 2.5-3 foot dry grass either side of the road, thinking weed whack, but who weed whacks a ranch? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
And around 2:30 this morning, it felt like it was in the mid-70s.
Sounds about right.
Row.
Yeah, it's starting early this year.
So what's going on out there? What are your concerns right now?
Well, like you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of fires going on in the state right now. Seems like right now they're starting to get ahead of some of them, but it's starting really early this year. Normally we start seeing the big fires with extreme fire behavior, mid to late July. This year it started in early June, so that's a pretty big red flag for all of us in the fire service. Biggest concerns out there is not only you mentioned seeing tall grass and out in the rural areas, but we actually see pockets of it in and around town, and that's why we have a weed abatement program to try to be able to get a hold of property owners and encourage and make them basically take care of their dry vegetation. So especially in close proximity to fences, houses, structures, but it is a problem all around. And what we'd encourage people to do is if you have an area in your community that you see that might be becoming a problem, don't be quiet about it. Speak up, go to the fire department, go to the city officials, county officials to try to get that taken care of, because a little bit of prevention goes a long ways. And if we can remove one of those pockets, before it becomes a problem, then absolutely, we want to know about it so we can help basically mitigate the problem.
Dry grass that's cut, or I guess a lawn that's cut, that is, appears dead, or I guess that's the working phrase. Is that an issue? Is that a concern?
It can be. We consider those what are called ladder fuels. Basically, if a small fire were to start in that laid down vegetation, where is it going to spread to? Does it spread to a fence? Does it get into larger, bigger vegetation, into berry briars that can basically then...
The neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if you have things like that, that can be a definite concern, because that's also light, flashy fuel that has a lower ignition temperature, and it's going to be able to be ignited a lot easier and spread pretty fast and hot. So
now, 2 weeks ago, we had fire... No. 10 days ago, we had fireworks.
Yes.
We've also heard a little bit of it in the interim.
Yes.
Is that what you think could be the spark to start an event?
It can be. This time of year, definitely. It's, even with the safe and sane fireworks, they have... a danger factor to them, and people don't, usually the firework itself is not the problem. It's the person that decides to use them in an inappropriate fashion in close proximity to brush and vegetation, or the people that get the illegal fireworks and go out and have their own fireworks show that rivals the big city show, launching it from the beaches and everything. So not only is there the injury factor if something blows up and takes a hand or another body part, but there's also the factor that obviously people that aren't licensed, that don't know what they're doing, putting on these great grand shows with the fallout from the fireworks, they can definitely be a big issue.
How was the 4th of July? Did you guys have, I didn't hear too many sirens running around.
Knock on wood, this year we got off pretty lucky. There was it was actually a relatively quiet day for us. I mean, normally we shy away from saying the quiet works, that'll jinx us. But in the greater Eureka area, it was actually a pretty low-key 4th of July. No reports of any large vegetation fires caused by fireworks, no injuries reported. In fact, the only real vegetation fire that we had was on the 3rd, and it was caused by a controlled burn that escaped. And other than that,
control burn this time of the year?
It was the resident was unaware that the burning had been suspended. They were educated. It was also in the state responsibility area. So not only did our department respond, but CAL FIRE came and assisted us, and it was turned over to their prevention bureau to see if anything needed to be done to help help correct the action from the property owner.
What does that mean?
Potential fines.
Make sure they don't do it again.
Absolutely. And, and it was, the circumstances of that fire, it was actually, the person, wasn't aware. They're not an experienced burner. They basically just moved into the area. They had a controlled burn to get rid of some vegetation. They then left to go pick up their child from a summer program, came back and found part of their property on fire. Fortunately, it didn't get into any structures or anything, but it did burn quite a bit of vegetation and some stumps in the area.
A little bit more than what they were anticipating?
Absolutely. And I think that was the biggest education factor there, but burning while it's suspended, especially with the state resources being as depleted as they are around, that could cause some pretty big issues.
Sure, all you need is a little gust of wind.
Absolutely.
Wrong time, all of a sudden magic happens.
Yeah.
Were you as surprised? Yeah, we had Santa Rosa, so we know fire can jump. But that it jumped across I-5 at the state line, that to me is just, I don't know why I-5 would be seen different emotionally than 101. But that one got me even more than what the 101 did back in December when that fire jumped.
Right. Yeah. And you think about I-5 and highways, freeways, big roadways like that being the dream fire break. You know, it's paved. There's not a lot of combustible there. But the thing is with those, with those extreme fire conditions, when the fire starts generating its own wind, with just normal wind blowing embers and other things across the roadway, and as like we mentioned earlier, as tender dry as things are, it's surprising this early in the season, but not unexpected. And unfortunately, as the season rolls on, it gets warmer and stays warm consistently. It's only going to get worse as everything dries out more.
Are we foolish, Bill, to think that because we live in the fog zone, we're immune? Or
yes.
Those of us listening within the fog zone that we're immune to this?
Yeah, and we even though we live in the fog zone and we have a little bit more moisture than the average bear around the state, we do have those times of year where it gets warm for quite a length of time and it dries out, and we could very easily have some of the problems like they had in Santa Rosa in our area too, especially with people living up against green belts and not having good defensible space.
That wasn't just specifically picking on freshwater in Three Corners.
No, that's okay. all around our community and outside our community as well. It can be a definite problem.
I didn't think you'd pick on them. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Reynolds. Bill, with some of the concerns that are out there for you, are you guys having to do the mutual aid right now? Or do you have some folks that are down out of the area covering some of these fires or backfilling into the CDF or CAL FIRE positions?
We went down to the Pawnee Fire in Lake County. We sent an engine with a local government strike team and a strike team leader down to that fire. They spent quite a significant amount of time down there helping get that one under control. And we came back, and right now our wildland engine, our primary one that we send out of county on assignments like that, actually has a mechanical issue. It's getting rectified on that. Hopefully we'll have it back in service by next week. And then
I'm sympathetic to that mechanical issue.
I understand, yeah.
Good, okay.
You guys
okay.
Had your share this morning.
Yes.
But that happens. If you use them, you're going to break them sometimes. And fortunately, it's something that's not insurmountable. We're getting it fixed, and we'll be back in action here pretty quick. So we want to make ourselves available to again, do just that, help out our neighbors, because we would expect, if we were having a problem up here, their neighbors would want to help us out too.
So when you know that there's going to be those calls, it certainly seems like it's going to happen. How do you anticipate with like schedules and vacations and things like that? Do you let the troops kind of do as they would normally, or do you try to keep them a little closer to home, anticipating that you're going to have a number of folks pulled out to help out in whatever the situation is?
Right. People are still able to take vacation and everything during the summer months, obviously, because that's one of the most popular times of year to do it. But we do pre-anticipate, basically, when we have these months coming up, we designate personnel early. They are able to sign up and basically say they're willing to go on the strike team or backfill in the station. So we have people pre-designated so that if we have to send an engine out, then we have people that are slated to come back in and cover that. So
cover your station or any of the stations. If let's say one of the crews from Fortuna goes and you guys are at the end of the string and you're covering there, do they relocate down there, or you're just responding out of whatever the fire stations are and covering those guys?
Yeah, the pre-designation is covering our stations. And if an agency like Fortuna does send out of county, they're a large enough volunteer department, they're able to help cover their own end. Now, if somebody like one of our neighbors, say in Samoa, basically needs, if they send an engine out to go do something like that, they're a lot smaller agency, so they'll usually contact Humboldt Bay Fire and also Arcata Fire District and basically see if we can help cover their calls as well. So basically, at the end of the day, we're all trying to help each other out and keep the coverage and the the service there for the citizens.
Somehow it seems like swimming with sharks or dancing with lions. Some just, I mean, you know what's going to happen. You can do the dance. Everybody kind of knows how the game gets played.
Right.
But there's risk associated with it.
Absolutely. And usually when we send an engine out, it's a, you know, about an hour of chaos while we're trying to basically get the crew organized to get ready to go. They usually carry what's called a red bag with them that has all their out-of-county supplies with them. But they're usually able to get them on the road within 10 to 15 minutes to rendezvous with the rest of the team. But then the backfilling at home and everything takes a little bit of time. But, you know, we've done it enough that we have a pretty good system in place to control the chaos.
It is kind of almost routine, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, at a certain point.
Yes.
How frightening is that, that it becomes routine? Oh, too much fun. Well, hopefully the weekend will be a lot calmer for you.
Hope so.
Make it through and see what next week brings. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always a good time.
See everybody tomorrow morning.